Well, please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, and we'll start in chapter 12 this morning. And Lord willing, move on from there to other Proverbs as well, but begin in Proverbs 12. What does God's Word have to say about our words? The words that come out of our mouths wield great power and influence. Rightly used, our words can give life. They are valuable. They can encourage and lift up. Our words can challenge and rebuke. Our words can point people to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God that is reflected here in Proverbs. When our words are wise and measured and careful and thoughtful and well-timed and appropriate, they can accomplish so much good, as we looked into last time. That power of words, though, can also be highly dangerous and damaging. Just as they can be used for great good, they can be used for great harm. And we want to focus our attention on some of those dangerous, harmful, wicked words that can come from our mouths this morning. So we've turned to Proverbs 12. Look with me at verse 18, which we saw last time. Proverbs 12, 18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's power for good or for ill. Sword thrusts can injure or kill, and so can our words. Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And today, I trust we'll see more specifically just how powerful words can be for injuring others and ourselves. Such words, so last time the words that we looked at were winsome words, good words, words that can be used for good. And we saw those words are often few and very careful words, appropriately timed. They're wise, they're persuasive, they're gentle words, gracious words, they're gospel words. Again, pointing others to the Savior, they can be rebuking words when that is needed and encouraging words that lift one another up. Great good. So I haven't seen that power of words and wisdom words or winsome words. We want this morning to turn our attention to wicked words and ways they can be used for evil. And because of that, the great need to guard our tongues, to guard our mouths, and to do so carefully. So as we talk about wicked words, don't forget the context of Proverbs that we have tried to root ourselves in over the last weeks and months. Good words must be rooted in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It comes from a relationship of fear of the Lord. And so these foolish and wicked words that we talk about today, they come from someone who does not have that relationship with God, from someone who does not fear the Lord. So if you're an unbeliever today, don't be surprised if the kinds of words we talk about are the kinds of words that often come out of your mouth. And if you see your sin and your need to stop speaking this way, the answer isn't just to try really hard to clean up your words. The answer is Christ alone. You need to run to Jesus for forgiveness of sins and be saved, and then pray for the grace and the power to control your tongue. And so if you don't know Christ, stop right there and where you sit, pray that God would open your eyes and that He would save you and forgive your sins and give you grace to speak aright. Only Jesus can tame your tongue or mine and bring you safely home to heaven by forgiving your sin and giving you His righteousness. But believers, you are trusting in Christ today. Just because you're trusting in Christ and fear the Lord, that doesn't mean automatically you're going to use your words well. It doesn't just, boom, I'm trusting Jesus, and now, hey, all of my words are winsome words now. They're everything that we talked about last week. It's not that easy. It's not that automatic. And so God's word, along with our own experience, show us that we do battle with sin until the day we die. And so we too, as believers, must be on guard against the kinds of words that do such harm to others and ourselves. And in our case, as followers of Christ, wicked words do harm to the name of Christ. So I bear the name of Christ.
I go speak wicked words, that reflects poorly on my Savior.
And so we must be careful. And where you find sin in your words, as we consider some of these things this morning, cry out for forgiveness and for the work of the Spirit to continue strengthening you to speak words that are good and right and true. And avoiding these kinds of words is about much more than just, hey, here's all the bad words that you can say, bad kinds of words, stop it. It's about more than that as believers. It's about guarding our heart. Remember our memory verse, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if we want to be speaking rightly, we have to be stoking our hearts with the right stuff, with the truth of God, with selflessness instead of selfishness. So many of the wicked words we speak are because we are selfish. And we've elevated self to the place of Christ. And so if you see these wicked words that we talk about today in your life, have a look at who is functionally on the throne of your heart. And who are you serving? Are you serving Christ or are you serving self? And often where you'll find these wicked words, you'll find, along with me, that we are serving self. And so it's not just, I need to stop saying these words. It's, I need to be selfless. And not selfish. I need to acknowledge Christ as Lord of my life and serve Him and live for Him and not live for myself. Keep Christ at the center of what we do. So let's talk then about some of these varieties of wicked words that we can speak. And then I want to address a little bit the consequences of those words. So the varieties of wicked words, the consequences of them. And then we'll talk a little bit here, Lord willing, about guarding our tongues. And putting some filters over our mouth. So what kinds of wicked words can we speak? Well, there's all sorts, and we're going to focus on the ones that Proverbs emphasizes. And there's a few places or a couple places in Proverbs where there's groupings of Proverbs about the tongue. And so you're in chapter 12. Turn back to chapter 11 if you need to. And let's look at one of those groupings of Proverbs that relate to sins of speech, sins with our words. Proverbs 11. Let's start at verse 9. And not all of these verses relate to this, but most of them do. We'll do 9 through 13. And this is the word of God. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. But by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. There are lots of ways to sin with our lips. There's a few of them in these verses, certainly not all of them. So let's start running through some of the ways that we can sin with our lips. Maybe the first one that comes to your mind, sins of the tongue, is lying. Deceit, deception, and Proverbs addresses that frequently. You'll find, maybe not in every chapter of Proverbs, but a lot of them, there's some Proverbs about lies and deceit. And it's not always just verbal. There's different ways to deceive. And so I think I'm going to come back and give a whole message to truth and lies, to deceit and truthfulness. And so I'm not going to focus in on lies this morning as one of the wicked words that we can speak. But it is one of them. And if you are lying and deceiving with your tongue, then you need to pray for grace to speak truth. But Lord willing, I think we're going to come back to that as a whole subject on its own. But it's certainly related to other types of wicked words that we can speak. Sometimes when we gossip or slander, we're lying. It's not truth what we're sharing oftentimes. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Lord willing. So what are some varieties of wicked words then? Well, let's start with the opposite of what we saw last time. If good words are often few and careful and wise, wicked words are often many and foolish. You expect the opposite of wicked words from good, winsome, righteous words. The wicked words are often many and unrestrained and unthoughtful. So remember the principle. The more you speak, the more words come out, the more opportunity you have to sin with those words. And if you're somebody that doesn't have the discernment to limit the number of words that come out, the volume of words that you speak, and I don't mean volume like I'm talking loud enough so that you can hear me kind of volume. I mean the number of words. If you don't know well enough to limit the volume of your words, then you probably don't have the discernment to speak the right kinds of words. So the more comes out, the more wicked words come out. Proverbs 10:19 that we saw last time, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. When words are many, talk a lot, chatterbox, some of us are more prone to run our mouths than others. There is a danger when we do that, that we're going to sin. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. And I'm not going to say everything that we said last week, but if you have a fool who doesn't have the discernment to keep their mouth shut, probably don't have the discernment to say the right things when he opens his mouth. So Proverbs 15 and verse 2 says, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pours out folly. So in those many words, you know what's coming out? Foolishness. Foolishness, foolishness. He's going to sin with his many words. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. He is a fool, but he's even farther gone than a fool. A man who's hasty in his words. Why is haste, quickness in our words, such a dangerous thing? Well, when you speak quickly, there's not enough time to think about what you're saying. You say, think a thought, boom, speak it. That's not good. That's a hasty word. You need to think a thought and go, let me think about that. Hasty in our words, not good. There's more hope for a fool than for someone who is hasty with their words. So many words, quick words, foolish words are often sinful and wicked words. There's a category for you to think about. Do I talk a lot? And when I do, it's not necessary that you're going to sin if you talk a lot. And we talked about that last time. But when I talk a lot, what am I saying? And let's talk about now some other varieties of wicked words. Is it these words that are coming out or the good words that we talked about last time? So many words, foolish words. How about gossip and slander? Let's turn over to Proverbs 26. Another sort of suite of verses compiled together here related to wicked words. So Proverbs 26, and let's pick up the reading at verse 20 and read down through the end of the chapter. 26:20. There's even more before this, but we'll start at 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. The stone will come back on him who starts at lying, rolling. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So let's think particularly here about gossip. And this one is so hard, friends. It is so easy to pass on that little tidbit of information. Might be true, might not be true, might be partially true, you might not be sure, but you've got it. And there's some pleasure, some excitement, some desirability if you are the one that has the information and you're able to pass it on. And people go, oh, really? And we like that. We want to be liked. It feels good. You feel important when you got a little tidbit of information to pass on. And so it's very easy to just share that. Information is currency. And you think people will be impressed if you have a little bit of that. And the words of Proverbs here are vivid. We've just read of delicious morsels. They go down, you know, a little savory bite of something you love to eat. It's a privilege to both serve someone something that they love and then to eat it. And sometimes the sin is just as much as part on the one receiving that word of gossip as it is on the one that's speaking it. Because they want it. And they show that they want it. So, I heard some. Oh, tell me.
Tell me about it, because you want it.
We feed on each other, the one with the information and the one that wants it, and we enjoy that, but it's actually a destructive fire. Don't speak words like that. Put your hand on your mouth. You don't need that kind of popularity. If people are impressed with your gossip, you're hanging out with the wrong kind of people. And make sure that we do understand that other side, to not listen to this garbage. Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer listens to wicked lips. Hear that? An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Often gossip begets gossip, and someone starts to share their latest juicy tidbit. When that happens, shut them down. Sweetly, gently, but make it clear you want no part of hearing that. And friends, it can be so easy to disguise that with, we need to pray for somebody. Let me tell you what I heard. We need to pray for him. Is that really your goal in sharing it? I need some advice on how I can help them. There may be some legitimate times where you need to do that, but a lot of times you need to just put your hand on it and say, you know what, I don't need to share that. It may just be plain old sinful gossip. Slander can be quite related to that. Slander, speaking ill of someone, defaming their name and reputation. God had forbidden it. Leviticus 19:16, you shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. So we're not surprised to find that God's wisdom speaks about it as well. Proverbs 11, verses 12 and 13. We read these earlier. Whoever belittles his neighbor, despises his neighbor, lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Slanderers despise and destroy the people that they are talking about. It may even be something that's true, but that doesn't mean it's necessary or appropriate to talk about. Now, there's a right time and place and a way to speak hard truths about other people. Evil needs to be brought to the light. Sin needs to be rebuked. But slander is not the way to do it. Destroying someone's reputation. And let me just say a word to you men, to us men. Let's make sure we don't leave this in the domain of the ladies. It's middle school girls that love to gossip. That may be true. But it's also employers in the workplace talking about each other and their boss, and bosses talking about their workers, and it's not specific to a gender. We all can gossip and slander with our words. It goes on in churches and can split churches wide open when things aren't dealt with in a way that's biblical and appropriate, going to that person instead of talking about them behind their back. Flattery is another dangerous sin of the tongue. We've already seen the importance, previous message, of rebuking and challenging one another in love. So don't need to belabor this, but flattery is gross. If I'm sinning, don't flatter me and tell me how great I am. Call me out on my sin. Flatterers are looking to get into your good graces by saying things that typically aren't true. We're exaggerating things. And so that may be in view in some of these verses we just read in verse 20 or chapter 26. Glaze covering an earthen vessel. The one who hates disguising himself with his lips. When he speaks graciously, don't believe him. And then it says down in verse 20, a flattering mouth works ruin. They're covering up their dislike of you so that they can get something from you. So you will think well of them, whatever it is. Don't bother with flattery. And if what you're saying is not true, then you've run afoul of lying and deceiving. Speak truth and do it in love. Quarreling words, another category of wicked words. So we've got many words, we've got gossip, we've got slander, we've got flattery, we've got quarreling. Harsh words easily become quarreling words because harsh words are hard to let go. When you're on the receiving end, somebody speaks harshly to you, all of our pride, all of our defensiveness, all of our self-righteousness rears its ugly head, and we just can't let it go. So Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. When somebody speaks a harsh word to you, deflect it with a soft word. Don't come back with another harsh word. Anger stirred up in your attack, it leads to a fight. We want to respond when somebody speaks a harsh word. We want to come right back at them, and it's better to leave it lay. It's better to let it go. But in that self-righteousness, we want the right word, the last word. We want to be right. And when that's driving us, that desire to be right, that desire to be self-defensive, when it really doesn't matter, to get in that last word, we need to remember Proverbs 17:14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. It could end with you calmly refusing to fight, or it could escalate into something deeply hurtful and damaging. Be willing to let it go instead of engaging in a quarrel. The quarrel is not going to lead to any good. Now, if you need to have a hard discussion, have the hard discussion. Do it with gentle words. Do it with love. Don't start slinging mud at each other. Matthew Henry says, rather than lose a jest, some will lose a friend and make an enemy. You just can't let it go. You can't lose. You got to get the last word. And you could lose a friend in those harsh words that come spitting out of your mouth. Don't quarrel. It's the mark of a fool. Proverbs 18 and verse 6. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Have you seen that with yourself or with others? Proverbs 20 and verse 3, it's an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, away from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. You think you're doing right. I'm going to stand up for me. Any fool can do that. It takes a wise man to walk away from the strife. It's an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but any fool will be quarreling. Don't be that fool. Remember the scoffer in Proverbs? We've got the naive, the fool, and even farther gone, the scoffer. You shouldn't be surprised that where you find a scoffer, you find strife, quarreling. Proverbs 22:10, drive out a scoffer, get rid of him, and strife will go out, and quarreling and abuse will cease. So if you are always in the middle of strife, always quarreling, for just a moment this morning, lay aside your oft-used excuse that it was their fault, always the other person's fault. You're often in quarrels, but it's always the other person's fault. Set that aside for a minute, that excuse. It's somebody else's fault. And take a minute to think about the possibility that you, or me, are the source of the trouble. And think about what might produce that strife. Proverbs points us to multiple different things that lead to or connected to strife and quarreling. And I'm just going to list them off this morning, different proverbs that connect these things with strife or quarreling. And have a look at yourself and see if you are characterized by any of them. If you are often in arguments and fighting, see if it is not originating with you, at least to a degree. So here are these things that are connected. I'm not going to give you the references. If you want the whole list, I can email that to you or something. Here they are. Hatred is connected with quarreling or strife. Hatred, insolence, or it could be translated pride or presumption. Hot temper, dishonesty, loving transgression, foolishness, scoffing, excessive drinking, gossip, greed, and wrath. All of those in Proverbs are connected in some way to either quarreling or strife. So do a little self-diagnosis and see if some of those things don't lie behind some of your quarrels, and see if you're not sinning with your mouth. Friends, there's all sorts of ways to sin with our mouth. We've just touched on some of them that Proverbs emphasizes. And when we and others use our tongues in these ways, the result is not good. So let's think about that result. What's the outcome when we speak wicked words? What happens? The sad outcome of wicked words. Well, there's damage to others and there's damage to ourselves. Think about the damage to others. Cumulatively, we could say this. Proverbs 11:9 that we read earlier, with his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. But by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. With his mouth, he's not talking about like eating him or biting him, all right? He's talking about his words. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. And Proverbs shows that this happens not just generally, but specifically with particular sins of the tongue, like gossip and slander. Your words could be the ruin of your neighbor, your friend, your acquaintance, your classmate, your coworker, whoever it is that is the object of your slander or the subject of your gossip. Make no mistake, your words have power. And when they're wicked words, that power is wielded for ill, and you can destroy people with it. So gossip, for example, Proverbs 16:28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. You ever seen that happen? Gossip shares a little tidbit, sows a seed of doubt in this person's mind that makes them doubt their friend and question them. And boom, the whole thing blows up. A whisperer separates close friends. What a devastating consequence. Separating friends because you wanted the rush that comes with sharing something behind someone's back. Maybe true, maybe partially true, maybe not true at all. You wanted that feeling of importance, and you killed a friendship. That's the height of selfishness. As we noted, it can happen in the workplace. Think about the home, the church as well. You can get coworkers fired. You can get classmates in trouble. You can get siblings in trouble. Can divide spouses from each other, parents from their children by sowing wicked words. Churches can be undone and split wide open by foolish, careless, or even malicious talk. It can destroy other people. It's true of quarrelers. They bring strife. And what a sad thing, again, that your desire to be right, your unwillingness to let a remark pass and just let it go could bring such division. If you're still in Proverbs 26, verse 21, as charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Don't be that person. Be verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there's no whisper, a quarreling ceases. Don't put wood on the fire. Don't be a whisperer, gossip, a slanderer. Kill those things so that we don't destroy the church. Don't be the one who puts more wood on the fire. Proverbs 16:27, a worthless man plots evil and his speech is like a scorching fire. It's going to burn, it's going to damage. Great hurt comes from wicked words. But it also does damage to ourselves. What happens when you pour out words without care? Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. It can be translated terror or destruction. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. You can destroy your own life by the words that you speak. And maybe you found that. Not only have you hurt others badly with your tongue, it hasn't turned out so well for you. It's easy to do damage to your reputation, your job prospects, your family, and the name of Christ. Foolish words that you speak in person, things that you post on social media, employers are starting to check that. And your own foolish words are keeping people from getting jobs, from things that they posted, things that they said. Open wide your mouth, ruin's not far away. It's too much talk, as we've seen, can lead to sin. Don't be surprised when you read in Proverbs 10, both in verse 8 and verse 10, a babbling fool will come to ruin. It's just going to be trouble if you run your mouth too much. 18:6, a fool's lips walk into a fight and his mouth invites a beating. Foolish talk is asking for trouble. And so don't look around and blame others when your own words have brought the trouble on your head. Your words can do great harm to others and great harm to yourself. They also can bring, most seriously, the judgment of God. The damage you can do to yourself pales in comparison to the judgment of God on those who speak wicked, foolish words. Don't expect your wicked words to ultimately stand. Proverbs 22:12, the eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the traitor. Your wicked words won't stand. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Whether figuratively or literally, God can and will silence the wicked. not trifling things. Oh, it's just a little bad language. It's just a little joke. It's a little insult. Just a little fight. Just a little gossip. No big deal. They'll get over it. Friends, sins of the tongue are a matter of life and death. They reflect a heart that either knows and loves the Lord, or a heart that is antagonistic to God and doesn't fear Him and doesn't bow before Him and shows that you are a rebel on your way to eternal punishment. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So what do your words say about you? What do my words say about me? What will they say on that day of judgment? I hope what you're seeing here is the importance of guarding the tongue. Now, I know this is some kind of heavy stuff today, talking about sin. Don't forget all the good that we can do with our words that we talked about last week. Don't forget that. But these are sobering things, and all of this points us, both the reality that we can speak good words and that we can speak bad words, that points to the need of guarding our tongues. And so let's talk for just a moment about guarding our tongues. It is essential. Now, guarding our hearts is essential as well. We talked about that a little bit last time and about at the beginning of the message. Remember that these wicked words are usually driven by selfishness, and we need to get behind that and see what's in our hearts. But let's talk about the point when it gets to our lips. Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. You want to preserve your life? Guard your mouth. If you don't want the trouble that we've talked about on yourself and others and the judgment of God, you got to keep a tight rein on your lips and what comes out of them. So what are some practical ways to guard our words? And we talked about this a little bit last time, but let's be reminded and think on it just a bit more. How can we carefully guard our words? Have someone else give you an honest assessment. So what is the impact of my words? When I speak, how do people respond? How do you respond? Talk to your spouse. If you're brave, talk to your kids, if you have them. How do they respond? Find another trusted friend and ask them how they receive your words. Find a classmate that you trust, maybe a coworker. Get some input from other people on the effect of your words. You might have one perception and think that you are very cool and level-headed and calm and speak good words and encouraging words, and somebody else might go, bro, that's like, no. It's venom that comes out of your mouth. Like, it's not pleasant to be around you. Might be hard to hear, but ask someone for some help. How they perceive your words, and listen to the wise voices that God has put in your life. We're talking about trusted people, not just random Joe on the street or person that you just met yesterday. People that you know and that know you and that have a good biblical perspective, that are rooted in God's word. Listen to them. And then when you come to speak, pass your words through different filters before they get out of your mouth. And if it helps you to think about, like, literally having a filter in your mouth, think about it in those terms. Like, you know, like a strainer. You go to strain something, you pour it through the strainer, it gets all the junk out and the good stuff comes out on the other side. Think about parking one of those things in front of your mouth and say, to get out of my mouth, it's going to have to get through these strainers, these colanders, these filters, right? What are some of the filters? Well, is it true? That's the obvious one, right? If it's not true, you don't need to say it. And what we're saying here, when we think about these different filters, is think before you speak. Remember that the man who is hasty in his words, he's in trouble. We saw that earlier. James puts it this way, James 1:19. Know this then, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Don't we get that flipped on its head? Quick to speak, slow to hear. No, says James. Slow to speak, quick to hear. Slow to anger. So, in order to pass your words through these filters, you're going to have to be slow to speak. You're going to have to think. You're going to have to guard. You're going to have to be careful. And if you're somebody that is always ready, like with the quick-witted retort, like the quick answer, some of that's fun and personality, but man, put a check on it and see if what you're saying is actually meets the standard of God's word. Is it true? If it's true, is it necessary to say, and is it helpful to say? Is it going to do any good if I say it? And if it's true and it's necessary and it's helpful, is it the right time to say it? We talked last time about well-timed words. Put that filter up. Yep, true, necessary. Another filter. Hold on. Probably not the best time. Bunch of people standing around, probably not the best time to rebuke that person publicly. Maybe just going to get them one-on-one. They've just been through a major crisis. Probably not the best time to bring that up right now. Right? They're chasing 14 kids around and trying to keep track of it all. And you know what? You really have that's not the right time. Have them over for coffee. Okay, so is it true? Is it helpful and necessary? Is it the right time? Am I in the right frame of mind where I can be measured and gentle and self-controlled? All right, might be true. The timing for them might be appropriate, but let me think about me. Am I mad right now because they did the thing again that I need to talk to them about? Am I in the right frame of mind? Am I ready to sit down with my child who's just disobeyed and have a calm discussion about their behavior? Am I still mad that they interrupted the football game that I was watching? Baseball, because football season hadn't started. Anyway, am I in the right frame of mind? Ready to speak measured, gentle, self-control words. Would I want someone to say this to me or about me? I'm about to share something. What I would want someone to say that about me to that person. Am I just saying it because I think it will get a rise out of someone? It'd be fun to share a juicy tidbit. Am I saying it because I'm purely selfish in my motives at this moment, or because I'm really concerned for the honor of Christ and his name? We could put filters up all day. There's a few. Is it true? Is it helpful and necessary? Is it the right time? Am I in the right frame of mind? Would I want someone saying it about me? Am I saying it just because of the feeling I'm going to get? Is it purely selfish? All right, so put it through those filters. Guard your mouths. And then consider the outcome of your words before you speak them. What effect might it have if I say what I'm thinking about saying? Don't say it and then see. Well, let's try it and see. No, think about it. Gameplay it out in your mind. If I say this, how are they going to feel? What's going to happen? Think about the potential response to the words that you were thinking about. Is it going to stir up a fight? Is it going to separate friends? Put it through the filters. Think about the outcome before you speak them. Pray. Ask for wisdom to speak well and to speak what is right and true. Ask for grace to restrain your tongue. If you already know that you're prone to these things, friends, you know this. I can talk, man. I'm not up here because I've got this all down. I know. I need better controls on my tongue. And so we need to pray and ask for grace. You already know. I struggle with these things. Then before you get out of your bedroom in the morning, Lord, help me, every person I see, to control my tongue. My kids, my spouse, whoever it is, Lord, help me to control my tongue. Help me, Lord. Pray that what comes out of your mouth will be honoring to God. Another way to filter your tongue is to fill your mind with what's good, with wise words. Soak up the word of God. Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing. And so what comes in matters for what goes out. So soak up what's good and right and true if you want your words to be good and right and true. Humble yourself and exalt Christ. Be careful who you listen to. Gossip, we said, begets gossip. If someone's about to drop that big old gossip bomb, you can usually see it coming. Again, we said it before, shut them down. Do it sweetly. Do it gently. If they don't stop, see yourself out of the conversation. You know, gossipers aren't likely to stop with sharing other people's information with you. They're going to share yours with others. You might enjoy it when it's not about you, but when you find out they've done the same thing with somebody else, you're not going to enjoy it so much. Charles Bridges pointed that out. For as readily as he reveals our neighbor's secrets to us, will he reveal ours to him? It's just, if you fuel that cycle, it's just going to keep on. Shut it down. Say, I don't need that. I love you, but I don't need to hear it. Thank you. sweetly, gently, but shut it down. Friends, guarding your tongue is worth it. Life and death are at stake. Our well-being and the well-being of others is at stake. The name of Christ is at stake. And so may we fear the Lord, and may God help us to guard our hearts and our tongues. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. He who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. So may God help us to restrain our words and to speak what's right. Amen. Let's pray together.